Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship, or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
Today's reading is from John chapter 9. Verses 1 through 15. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. "Teacher," his disciples asked him, "why was this man born blind? Was it a result of his own sins or those of his parents?" "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "He was born blind so the power of God could be seen in him. All of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. But while I am still here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and smoothed the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Is this the same man, that beggar?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, but surely he looks like him." And the beggar kept saying, "I am the same man." They asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man they called Jesus made mud and smoothed it over my eyes and told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash off the mud.' I went and washed, and now I can see." "Where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know," he replied. Then they took the man to the Pharisees. Now, as it happened, Jesus had healed the man on a Sabbath. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them, "He smoothed the mud over my eyes, and when it was washed away, I could see." This is the word of the Lord.
How many of you remember summers growing up? You would have watermelon seed spitting contests. Anybody else do that disgusting thing? Yeah, that was a good time. We would sit on the back porch of grandma's house and we would just eat watermelon that would be dripping all down. And then we would have a contest to see who could expectorate a watermelon seed the greatest distance. And that was apparently fun in our time. That's a good time. Now they have seedless watermelons robbing a generation of children of the joys of spitting. I remember when I was watching baseball games growing up, I knew it probably wasn't watermelon seeds that they were spitting, and it probably wasn't the big league chew packages of bubble gum, but they were spitting something an awful lot watching baseball. When I played softball, I had no compulsion to spit anything other than like sunflower seeds. That was part of the job in place of tobacco because it was typically church league. But how many of you remember when you were young, sometimes mom would lick the thumb, and if you had some sort of stuff on your face, mom would just kind of wipe that off. It was powerful, the mom spit thumb. It was just about everything that you could imagine in the world. Any sort of chemical compound that had found its way onto your face or perhaps even your clothing could just about come out with mom's spit. I remember I was in chemistry class in high school, and we were having experiments about chemical reactions. And so we were looking at ways that chemicals would react with stains. We were looking at ways that maybe different detergents and perhaps even bleach and other things would help to remove organic stains, things like grass stains and food stains and things like that. And so we used detergent. We used detergent with some sort of booster. And then, this is really gross, but we used detergent, and then all of my lab partners spit into this cup and put that in there as well. Our hypothesis was that the enzymes in that would help to clear up whatever that organic stain was. And guess which one worked best of all? The one with the saliva. It's gross, but it worked. And fortunately, there was detergent in there, so you weren't just wearing saliva-washed clothing on the other side of this. But it worked. It worked out really, really well. It turns out that spit was effective. Now, I don't think it was the enzymes, but spit mixed with mud made things a whole lot clearer for the man in this story. Now, right before this, Jesus got done interacting with some people who claimed to be of faith, but they did not follow him. They claimed they had the right certificates, the right pedigrees, but they didn't entrust their lives to him. They claimed Abraham was their ancestor, and Jesus told them if they were truly children of God, they would receive life that never ends. Are you better than Abraham? They asked him. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was ever born, I am. And at that point, the crowd that had gathered to listen to Jesus picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus was hidden from their sight, the scripture says. They were blinded to his presence, and he left the temple. People were blinded to Jesus right before this passage. And that leads to our first lesson from this morning's scripture. There are all kinds of blindness. All kinds of blindness. Verse 1, Jesus was walking along. He saw a man who had been blind from birth. Teacher, his disciples asked, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or the sins of his parents? Jesus said, it's not because of his sins or his parents' sins. He was born blind so the power of God could be seen in him. We must carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent me because there's little time left before night falls and work comes to an end. But while I am here in this world, I am the light of the world. Notice their initial response when somebody had fallen upon difficulty from birth. They wanted to know who to blame. It was the very first thing they wanted to know, who is to blame. We do that oftentimes too. Somebody's sick because maybe they didn't take care of themselves, or somebody's poor because they were wasteful and lazy, or somebody had a bad stroke of luck because karma was getting to them. Sometimes bad things happen because people do act in foolish and irresponsible ways. That does happen. But disciples don't quickly look for who to blame. Jesus' followers don't look first for who to blame. They look for who to bless. Jesus answered, he was born blind so the power of God could be seen through him. See, these disciples, the ones who had been following Jesus, for a while, they were blind to the work of God too. They wanted to sit in judgment and gossip about why this man was punished. And Jesus denied them this pleasure and told them this man was going to receive God's blessing. Jesus was saying, that's what we're about, guys. That's what God sent me for. If you don't see what God's mission is all about, you are the blind ones. Come here, close to the light, friends, and see. How often do we want to be voyeurs to our neighbor's hard times and wonder what went down and who's to blame? It's so much easier to find a scapegoat and move on than it is to be a facilitator of blessing, especially when blessing people can be such hard work. Maybe we want the satisfaction of knowing that they got what they had earned, that they got what was coming to them. But if so, we need to get close to the light because we're not seeing clearly. Our second lesson is this. Jesus can heal us in the strangest ways. Jesus can heal us in the strangest ways. Verse 6, then Jesus spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and smoothed it over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, meaning sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Why spit? Of all things, why spit? Spit is often equated with insult in Scripture. I mean, it's still not a compliment today, but it was an insult to spit in somebody's face. What's the significance of Jesus' saliva being used here? Maybe it's just to let us know that Jesus is powerful, entirely powerful. Like the woman who was healed simply by touching the hem of Jesus' robe. This proves that Jesus just exudes power right down to his spit. Mix saliva with the mud of creation, and you've got regeneration and new life. But maybe spit also because it reminds us that sometimes God's healing in our lives is humbling. The blind guy probably would have been really okay if Jesus had chosen to heal him with a steak dinner, right? But instead, he was healed by mud and spit. Healing doesn't always come in the ways that we prefer it to come. It comes in the ways that God offers. Sometimes we wish that our weight loss could come in the form of a pill, or we wish that our relationships could be healed with an article. We wish our addictions could be cleared up with good intentions. We want our salvation to come with no cost and no responsibility. We want heaven without sacrifice and blessing without God. But sometimes our healing comes with spit and with mud. I spent a fair amount of time growing up disliking institutional religion. I didn't much enjoy church or people I saw as gullible followers of some sort of ancient and irrelevant book. I didn't enjoy the judgmental people who claimed to have exclusive access to God. I thought all of it was silly for quite a long time, but then I encountered the love of God. Surprisingly enough, I found it in the context of the church. I found myself needing the forgiveness and salvation that Jesus had to offer, and I sure wanted all of that on my own terms. But as Jesus was maturing my faith, guess what God called me to? Grant, you're going to love my church, and you're going to work through the institutions. You'll shepherd my followers and study the scripture. You'll align yourself with Christians of every variety, and though you love to look so smart, you'll often look like a fool for me, and you'll be healed of all those idols that you've built up to take my place. Sometimes, not all the time, God calls us to be healed in ways that break our pride and get us a little bit muddy. Because that puts us in a place where God can really use us, where we can rely fully on God's power. That leads to our next lesson. It's all for the sake of telling about God's power. As the scripture goes on, his neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Is this the same man? Could this be that beggar?" Some of them said it was, others said no, but it looks like him. The beggar kept saying, "I am the same man." And they asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man they called Jesus made mud and smoothed it over my eyes and told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash the mud off.' So I went and washed, and now I can see." "Where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know," he replied. It's a familiar song. Most of you probably know it really well. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." That is a song that we typically use as a metaphor for what God has done for us. But for some, it's a very real testimony of what has happened to them, what Jesus has done for them. Lost sight being restored, lost people being found. If it were my testimony in the song Amazing Grace, it may sound something like, "Amazing grace, how sweet the love that drew me to my knees. My arrogance was so unearned. God gave humility." What does your amazing grace testimony sound like? What's the song that God is trying to sing through you? Maybe our transformed lives get to act as this powerful testimony of the work of Jesus through us. And maybe sometimes we have a hard time offering a testimony because we have not yet seen the transformation. But this man could say, "I once was blind." Some folks didn't believe it was him. They didn't believe these changes could happen. They didn't believe that the changes could last. But God has the power to absolutely alter the course of our lives for now and for eternity. Our testimonies are powerful. The words that we speak about what Jesus has done for us are powerful. In Revelation chapter 12, we read about how in the end the accuser of humanity will be defeated. And this is the quote from Revelation: "Because of the blood of the Lamb and because of their testimony," the testimony of the saints. The story of how Jesus changed our lives has power beyond our imagination. But we have to testify. Otherwise, we've got a Corvette that's all gassed up, but it never leaves the garage. Our testimonies are powerful. But not everyone celebrates with us. Have you noticed that? Not everyone celebrates with us. Our next lesson is this. There are critics everywhere. Passage goes on. Then they took the man to the Pharisees, and as it happened, Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath. The Pharisees asked the man all about it, and he told them, "He smoothed the mud over my eyes, and when it was washed away, I could see." Do y'all remember Waldorf and Statler from The Muppet Show? Raise your hand if you remember Waldorf and Statler. They sat up in the balcony. They always had something to say. That's how I picture the Pharisees in exchanges like this. Waldorf and Statler, the constant critics, once again showed up to the Jesus show. The blind religious leaders could not see the powerful thing that God was doing to bring new life and hope to a man because it was against their rules. The Sabbath is for worship and for rest only, and Jesus used that day to heal in a way that may not have caused too much exertion on his part. I mean, even the spitting part is really just letting saliva fall in the course of gravity. But not only could they not celebrate with this man, they were angry against the one who enacted the miracle. They were angered that Jesus would heal. Have you ever met folks like that? Don't point. They go to a rose garden and they find every thorn. They spend a day at the beach and it's all sunburn and jellyfish for them. There are some folks who don't seem to be able to identify the kindness of God if it just came across and blessed them right in the face. This is where some very powerful self-assessment comes in. We get to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in this. When God is up to something to bring about new life, we have a few choices on what we can do. We can celebrate what the Holy Spirit is doing, and we can get on board with it. We can notice that God is up to something incredible, maybe even unusual, and we can still stand on the sidelines. Or we can get uncomfortable and angry about something that we don't understand and attempt to belligerently block the path of God. Only one path has vision and life. It's likely to be messy, but the path to new life often is. And people will miss it because it's caked in spit and mud and sacrifice. But it's the path that we, as those who follow Christ, get to take. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for this humbling work of love that you have shared with us. We thank you for the powerful testimony that you've given us, these things that allow us to know that it's not by our strength or by our might. It's not because of our wisdom or anything that we bring to the table, Lord. It's all because of your kindness, your power, and your grace. God, we're so grateful that when we share this good news, there's something that happens in heavenly realms, that even happens in the ears of those who hear. Maybe they understand your power. And maybe they come to accept it as their own. Lord, let our faith be a beacon. Christ is with us yet, and while he is with us, he remains the light of the world. We're so grateful for that. Let his light shine through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.